Tackling the HIV/AIDS pandemic remains one of the world's most pressing public health challenges and something which should concern us all. That was the message from the organisers of the annual World AIDS Day, marked each year on December the 1st to underline the urgent need for prevention, treatment and care of individuals, families and communities living with this disease. Some 40 million people around the world are now affected by the HIV virus, with numbers of infections continuing to rise dramatically in Asia, Eastern Europe, as well as sub-Saharan Africa.
We need to remind ourselves as people of faith that we have an obligation to love our neighbors as ourselves, and especially to give preferential priority to those who are the poorest and the most vulnerable. And so we need to stick with our commitment to do more for people living with HIV and AIDS, and then to eliminate the further spread of the pandemic.
Father Bob Vitillo is a special advisor on HIV/AIDS for the Global Catholic Aid and Development Confederation, Caritas Internationalis. He's worked on this issue for over two decades, with churches in countries all over the world, trying to raise awareness, combat stigma, and draw up practical help and support programs for communities devastated by the disease. Father Bob's most recent project has involved a new study to promote some of the best practices already being promoted by churches in the Southern African region.
Well, the study was to see how the church in Southern Africa has responded to the situation of HIV and AIDS, which of course is catastrophic in that area. And I studied specifically the role of the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference, and felt that they took a very key role because, first of all, they were able to work with more than 140 local and national organizations of the Catholic Church to be able to broker support from organizations in Europe and North America, but then also with some of the larger international organizations as well, to be able to channel this support to those organizations. The SACBC also then built the capacity of those smaller organizations and got them ready to do more and more sophisticated work in this area. Some of them started out on a very small level of simply giving social support or some visiting of people in their homes, and now a number of those have moved on then to doing antiretroviral medication programs. And my hypothesis in the study is that then this situates them much better to scale up the response to HIV and AIDS in that area.
Now, of course, South Africa is one of the worst affected countries in the world. How much is this action on by the church really keeping pace with the increasing number of infections, the increasing need of people there?
Well, the action has certainly grown, the action by the church, and also the Southern African Catholic Bishops' Conference commissioned a number of independent studies to evaluate their work, and these studies overwhelmingly said that it was really the work of the church that was bringing the medication programs and care and support programs to the most rural, the most isolated areas, and that they were reaching out to the poorest of the poor. So I think that the SACBC has played a very key role here, but the situation continues to expand and continues to worsen, and that's why the church needs to be ready to scale up its response.
And how much is this church work going hand in hand with government programs in the different countries where the figures continue to rise?
Well, in South Africa, there's a lot of collaboration between the provincial health district offices and the work of the church. And, for example, one particular program in Johannesburg refers some of its patients to the local hospital, but then many of the people that they are trying to care for are refugees and immigrants who have no rights to treatment from the South African government. And so there's a real collaboration back and forth in doing this work. In other countries, there is collaboration between the church programs and the governmental offices. But one of the problems that we face is that while the churches, not only Catholic, but other churches as well, while they provide sometimes the majority of the services, they receive very little money, either from the government itself or from some of the international funding mechanisms such as the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, TB, and Malaria.
What can we do about this? As you say, the church does provide such a vast quantity of health care, but a lot of this goes unrecorded in some way and therefore doesn't receive the funding that it needs. What else can we do about that?
Well, a number of things. One, first of all, is that we need to do a better job at preparing our proposals for this kind of funding. We also need to do a better job as the church to evaluate the work we do in a way that then we could communicate the effects of our work in a much clearer and more scientifically based way. Sometimes people working on the ground say, I'm too busy taking care of people, I can't do those kinds of things. But unless we are scientific in our approach, then we can't really make a good case for receiving more money. Then I think we need to put more pressure on the governments in the South, to whom the money is being channeled, but also on governments in the North who are providing a lot of this money, so that they begin to take into account the contribution of faith-based organizations to the fight against AIDS.
Another area where the church is providing a vital contribution is to the vast numbers of AIDS orphans, the children who are themselves taking care of other children in that Southern African region.
Yes, this is a very key and important area. There are now estimates saying that there are about 18 million orphans due to AIDS in the world, and the vast majority of those, probably 95% of those, are in Africa. And there are a number of things that we need to do. First of all, we need to be sure that these children have the basic support that they need. Many of them are in child-headed households, and so they need some outside support from adults, role models. Be sure that they have food, be sure that they're able to go to school, and providing the funds for them to go to school. All of these are things that the church is doing. And yet more and more children are winding up on the streets. Some of them are winding up in the guerrilla movements. Some of them are winding up being trafficked into prostitution. So there's a great, great need for us to respond more carefully to the needs of those who are orphans.
And even if the figures of infections start dropping or start declining, this kind of problem among the children of the region is going to have a vast effect for years to come, isn't it?
Absolutely. Even when more people who are getting onto the antiretroviral medications are living longer, and that's a very good thing for them, and yet still there may not be enough money within the family for their children, the affected children, to be able to continue their education. For those who are not on the medications, when the parents are sick, very often the children have to stay home to take care of their parents, and they then experience a number of losses within the family, including a great loss in income into the family and insufficient food in the family. So the impact of this problem is going to continue, and it will go from one generation to the next.
I've asked you this question before, but I'll ask you again. You've been working in this area for so long, and yet we continue to see these figures rising. We continue to see millions of children with an entire future at risk. What is it that manages to give you hope? What is it that gives you inspiration to keep on with this work?
What gives me hope is to be able to go out into the field and to talk to the people affected by AIDS, the ones who say it's because of what the church has done that I am still alive and that my family is being supported in some way, and especially to talk to those church workers who are doing the on-the-ground work each and every day. And then a study like I just did in Southern Africa gives me a great deal of hope, because I know that without the intervention of the church in that area, there would be many, many more millions of people dying each year. There would be more children who are unprotected. And so I think that this is what keeps me going, and then also makes me raise the voice at the level of the United Nations, with the international organizations, and then also with people who have an influence, the policymakers, decision makers. I think we will never stop this pandemic unless we start looking at the roots of vulnerability, unless we start dealing with the massive poverty that exists in the southern world, unless we start looking at the lack of respect for human rights, and especially the lack of equality for women in this world. world. That's what we need. And yet so much of the world community has focused on very small ways of trying to prevent the spread that focus only on individual behavior instead of looking at the structural injustices that we have in the world and that fuel this pandemic. Those same injustices will fuel new pandemics in the world as well.
And my thanks there to Father Bob Vitillo, Special Advisor on HIV/AIDS for the Global Catholic Aid and Development Confederation, Caritas Internationalis.